What if the very search for meaning is what keeps us from finding it? Jiddu Krishnamurti, whom Time magazine named among the five saints of the 20th century, spent 65 years traveling the world with a revolutionary message. True freedom comes only through understanding yourself. Unlike most spiritual teachers, he established no formal practice, insisting that truth is a pathless land. Even Steve Jobs reportedly kept Krishnamurti's books on his iPad. Why? Because Krishnamurti's approach cuts through the noise of spiritual marketplaces with a simple yet profound invitation. Look at yourself without judgment, without escape, and discover what lies beyond the conditioned mind. The self, our ideas, memories, experiences, ambitions, is the result of centuries of conditioning. This conditioning creates a divided consciousness that separates and isolates. Yet we've all experienced extraordinary moments when this self disappears, moments of love, of complete attention, when there's no sense of effort or striving. These glimpses reveal a possibility beyond the self's constant activity, a freedom that can't be pursued but emerges naturally when we understand ourselves as we are. Are you ever truly connected to anyone? Or is your relationship merely between two images you've created about each other? True relationship only becomes possible when there is no image, when I can look at you without the filter of my past experiences. For most of us, relationships are based on dependency, economic or psychological. This creates fear, possessiveness, and friction. We feel enriched through another, more complete, and fear losing this source of completeness. The fundamental question becomes, can we love without possessing? Can we be related without creating dependency? Relationship is the mirror in which we discover ourselves. Without relationship, we don't exist. To be is to be related. Yet we turn relationships into problems because we don't understand ourselves within them. When we realize that what matters is our response rather than others' actions, relationship undergoes a radical transformation. We can be harmonious with another only when we're harmonious within ourselves. Why do we constantly seek happiness? Most define it as getting what they want, possessions, achievements, success. But the moment we become conscious of happiness, it vanishes. Like humility, true happiness cannot be pursued. It arrives unbidden. When we see something beautiful, we want to possess it. In this process, we create dependence and fear, losing the very joy we sought to capture. We move from enjoyment to enjoyment, but the me that wants more remains at the center. Only when this me in all its subtle forms ends can there be a state of bliss, an ecstasy without corruption. Sex becomes a problem because in that act, there's complete absence of self-consciousness, a moment where the me ceases. Desiring more of this self-abnegation, it becomes all-important. Sex offers momentary freedom while everything else leads to conflict. The real problem isn't sex, but how to be free from the self. The confusion begins when pleasure becomes memory demanding repetition. Whether sexual, artistic, or intellectual, we crave repetition, which darkens the mind and creates false values. Understanding pleasure doesn't mean denying it. Pleasure is fundamental to life. But we must see how thought transforms natural delight into craving for more. Intelligence emerges when we act in perfect harmony, intellectually and emotionally. Our education develops intellect through theories without affection, but true intelligence requires unity of mind and heart in action. All thinking is conditioned by our background and environment. There's no free thinking. Through awareness, not willful determination, which creates conflict, we can uncondition the mind. Understanding appears when the mind is quiet, when thought and verbalization cease. Don't analyze your thoughts and emotions. Become intensely aware of them as they function. The must and must not approach has crippled your thinking and feeling. This isn't advocating licentiousness, but freedom from compulsion. Can you observe yourself without reaction? Can you simply be aware that you're a Hindu, socialist, Christian, without judging it as right or wrong? This awareness without reaction dissolves conditioning. Knowledge isn't wisdom or intelligence. Wisdom can't be bought, found in books, or accumulated. It comes through self-abnegation and an open mind, not through information, but by observing our thoughts, feelings, and relationships. Intelligence exceeds intellect by integrating reason and love, arising only through self-knowledge. We carry both external fears, losing jobs, security, status, and internal fears, failure, loneliness, emptiness, death. These fears shape our responses to life. Fear darkens the mind, breeds violence, and prevents psychological freedom. Much of our brain structure is inherited from animals, explaining our violent and competitive tendencies. Physical fear is part of this animal heritage, a natural self-preservation response. Can we free ourselves from both our animal inheritance and societal conditioning? To discover something truly different, we must first achieve freedom from fear. Fear arises through thought about the future or past. Fear always exists in relation to something, and thought creates this relationship. Thought breeds both fear and pleasure. Thinking about past pain creates fear of its return, while thinking about past pleasure increases desire. When we give complete attention to anything, there is no observer, no thinker, no center from which we observe. In complete attention, the self-centered thought process ceases. Total attention eliminates the observer, the center of thought that breeds fear. Where attachment exists, love cannot, and dependency breeds fear. Love isn't something to cultivate or practice. Making compassion a mental exercise defeats its essence. Love emerges naturally when we understand relationship fully and when the mind quiets, not filling the heart with its fabrications. Desire isn't love. It pursues pleasure and creates conflict. Beyond understanding desire lies a bliss that transcends mere gratification. We often don't truly love our children. They become habits or possessions. True caring resembles tending a newly planted tree, providing proper soil, protection, and daily attention as part of your being. If we loved our children this way, we would create different education systems, eliminate war and poverty, and transcend competition and nationalism. Our failure to love has allowed these destructive patterns to persist. True meditation isn't about mantras or special postures. These dull the mind. It's attending to everything in your life, your interactions with family, colleagues, and strangers. Unlike concentration, which excludes and resists, attention observes every thought and movement without distraction. Meditation brings clarity through natural silence, not forced discipline. When you're attentive to every word, gesture, feeling, and motive without correction, silence emerges organically, creating effortless discipline. Self-knowledge is essential to meditation. Being fully aware of your daily activities and responses matters more than isolating yourself to meditate before an image. A truly still mind comes from understanding, not forced discipline, and only this stillness can know creation. Peace is your personal responsibility, reflected in your daily life. Living peacefully, without hatred, envy, power-seeking, or competition, creates freedom from which love emerges. Only a loving mind truly understands harmony with all that exists.